Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into Teen Health Source. We are once again joined by the lovely Paula from Teach. For those of you who didn't listen last time, Teach is an educational program put on through Planned Parenthood Toronto that stands for Teens Educating and Confronting Homophobia. And it focuses on educational workshops put on for youth by youth to talk about homophobia, transphobia, sexual and gender identity. This month, we are talking with Paula about issues related to Black identity, to queerness, to Black history. And today we're going to switch up the conversation a little bit. So why don't you go ahead and say hi, Paula?
Hi, everybody.
How's every little thing?
We are doing good. We are making it through the cold to the spring. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. So today we're talking about something a little different. Last time we talked about Black history. We were looking at our past. We were looking at key figures from history. We were looking at the history of like Black queer movements in North America. Some like kind of key figures from that time. But now we're kind of shifting gears to talk about the future a little bit more. So why don't you give us a little bit of an intro as to why that is something we might be talking about?
I really feel like we need to talk about this because there's such an emphasis on Black history and like the previous Black experience and like how we have come to like our current day. And I'm very for that, especially in the fact that a lot of Black history has been erased. A lot of Black history has been overlooked. A lot of Black history has been suppressed for the reason of, if you don't know your history, how can you move to the future? But in that, if we are able to understand how we got here and make a better image of like what brought us to this current point in the present, we will be able to actually, we need to be able to imagine what the future looks like so we can go towards it in a substantial way.
Right. So, because it's not about like, this is the future, forget about the past. We're moving beyond all of that, because it's very much taking that with you into the future, like into the beyond, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love it's called the bow and arrow analogy, where like you cannot move forward unless you move backwards or look backwards. And you can see that in a bow and arrow. If you don't pull it back, it won't move anywhere. It'll just fall down. So it's really important.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. So in thinking about like not kind of forgetting the past, I mean, we're kind of taking stock of where things have been, where we're sort of at now, what we're kind of looking for. And I feel like when we hear these conversations about like Black futures, about, you know, representation is like a really big thing, having that big push for like media representation, especially. I mean, I know it's kind of like a mixed bag, like there's like differing opinions on representation, but why do you feel people say that representation is so important?
I have also heard the mixed bag, but I think people push for it as an important factor, because seeing yourself specifically, not only in media, but like seeing yourself in history books, seeing yourself in books, seeing yourself in professions, seeing a reflection of yourself in all of these different fields allows you to broaden your imagination of who you can be. I was actually talking to like one of my classmates, like when I was in uni, and they were like, why is there such a push for like young Black men to go into sports? And I really had to explain to him, like, young Black men can see themselves very clearly in professional sports, constant, visible, important, well-paid, free of in some sense. And oftentimes for other things, they see like one Black scientist comes to school and says like, you can also be a scientist. That will not have the same impression as constantly seeing yourself in those roles. And even in the sense of, if you watch certain movies, you will see like lead characters like who fall in love, who are treated kindly, who find fortune, you know, still have hardships, but have this ability to grow and exist in society in like a non-traumatic way. And it's like, it's a running joke where it's like, in the Black community, where it's like, if you find a love interest, they are typically, due to colorism, light skin or biracial, and they get the prize at the end, whatever it is. But whenever they need a slave or a maid or a secondary character or a demeaned sex worker, all of a sudden they know where dark-skinned Black women are. They have them in a plethora. So
right.
Just being able to actually see yourself in a multiplicity of roles, because that will actually help create a better image of who you might want to be in the future. So
right. So yeah. it's not just like get as many Black people on screen as possible in all of the roles that like we know we've kind of seen Black people sort of typecast in the past. It's about like finding quality representation. It's about finding that diversity and representation. And I really loved the way that you had said about like, it's giving folks the potential to imagine themselves, in something different than they've kind of been told they could do.
Exactly. And that's where I and a lot of other people say, that's where people tend to stop. And that's where the issue where representation matters, being your entire political view around that, is a problem. Because yeah, they can imagine themselves in those roles, in those spaces, being that person in their own life or holding that profession. But if they don't actually have the substantial tools to actually be in that profession, to actually comfortably be in that role, or to be in that place, if that space isn't created, if the environment is hostile towards them, you are just feeding a fantasy. And fantasies are okay. It's just, you have to work to push the fantasy to become a reality.
Right.
People can't fly, but they can be scientists and doctors, and they can be regular everyday working people who deserve rights and privileges.
Right. I totally lost my train of thought.
You're good.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're talking about the moving beyond the fantasy part, and representation sort of being this piece of a larger puzzle. It's representation, gets the brain sort of thinking, it gets the imagining happening, but you're absolutely right. There does need to be a material change. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that sort of where things, representation is where things stop?
Yeah. So people find I call it rainbow colored capitalism, where it's oh my gosh, this is the first Black woman CEO. Oh my gosh, this is the first Black astronaut. This is the first Black actor who played this role. And it's just okay, now we're done. And it's okay, what about all the other Black people involved in production? Do they get the right to exist? Are they dealing with microaggressions, vivid racism, all of these other things? Or is it just this person, we have a representative in this role, they have a seat at the table, and now we're done, we've all achieved everything we need to? And it's and this is where representation, when it comes to the wider society, the non-Black society, it's just being able to see Black people in these roles will take away the mysticism of oh, Black people can't do that because of this. Black people can't do that because of insert stereotype here. And it's no, they're actually very capable to do that. I don't know why we need to prove this to you, but in the society we do, and they're able to do that. It's just now we have to come to them and say, all right, they're able to do it. They want to do it. Can you stop being racist and allow them to do it? And it's okay, that one's going to take a little bit of work. And it's yeah, that's where we have to come in and do the work. Because it's really easy to put, right now, if you look at a lot of commercials, there are a lot of Black people. But if you actually go to those companies and ask the Black staff about their experience, you might get a very different tale. If you go to upper management, middle management, and you look at who is there, and if they look like the people in their commercials, the people in their landing pages, their web pages, if they actually look like the people who are actually in the company, in a substantial role in the company, it's typically not that. And once February is up, that is going to decrease, as it typically does.
it's all like the behind the scenes stuff. So we do talk about like representation, these big names, these like, sometimes I know we talk about like exceptionalism, where there are these particular people who break through, like we've had a Black president, so there's no more racism. Look at how rich Oprah is. There's no more like stuff like that. These like really iconic, exceptional figures. And then we think that that is just is going to change the material reality, the everyday stuff for like all other Black people, which is just not the case.
Exactly. And that's why in Representation Matters, I have found that a lot of people just want like, I don't want to call it extreme, but like people who go like above and beyond, who are like the exception, like, wow, they're just like a star. And I feel like I said, like we do have representation for young Black men in the sense of sports people, but we know that the majority of people who play sports professionally are a minority of the people who want to play sports professionally. Mm-hmm. So giving like Black youth, like Black people, the idea of like being representative in normative stuff, like, hey, I want to be a teacher. Like, okay, a lot of like, elementary school, high school teachers are white. So they have no representation around, they know they can become a teacher, but they are very aware that the education system, specifically in Canada and other places, is very white. So mm-hmm. they don't see themselves in these normative roles. And I've seen it for other people who didn't know that they could become like clerks at like city hall offices because they've only seen white people work there. Just different areas where, because there is no representation, people assume it's not for them.
Right. There's no Marvel movie being made about the Black elementary school teacher or something like that. Exactly. Or if there is, it's like, oh, but he's the best elementary school teacher that the world has ever seen. And you can only be an elementary school teacher if you also moonlight as like a superhero or something like that.
Exactly. And it's that one teacher.
or you're like a jazz teacher in Pixar and then you die. So like,
and that's and you spend
most
part.
Of the movie not even being a Black man. So
ooh.
Anyway. So then what we're talking about is this like diversity of experience being represented, right? It's not just what we've been kind of led to believe Black people can do. It's also, it is all this behind the scenes stuff. It is these, you know, you can call them like not glamorous jobs, but you can also just call them like, these are like, we're talking about the importance of like Black people seeing themselves in the everyday, because that's something that is so often neglected. Those stories aren't told. And then even navigating those spaces in real life, there is such like a lack that's kind of what we were talking about, right? When we think about that diversity of experience.
Exactly. And then it also creates an anxiety, because I've spoken to people about it, around the idea that since all the representation is exceptional and excellent and above and beyond, when you are not that, like, what happens? Are you left to the wayside? Are you a letdown? Like, it creates this weird circle of like, I need to overachieve. And that's mm-hmm. really really common in like white majority societies, where like the expectation is that you won't succeed. So you need to over succeed to prove to them that you're worthy of what you have achieved. Where like a lot of people will be like, I want to have the confidence of like a mediocre white man.
Yeah.
There's just this understanding that like my existence is okay. And even if I don't achieve excellence, like I'm still like a valuable person. I still can keep my identity and nobody will like look down on me for being like normal. Like it's not a perfect idea, but it's a very like,
there's just no space for like mediocrity.
Yeah.
Even though like white folks, we get like tons of time, tons of space. There's never expectations placed on us. If we do it, it's like, we're like really, really celebrated for it. And if we're just mediocre, then it's like fine. And that's okay too. But that doesn't seem to be the case for Black folks.
Exactly. There's just this extreme. And that's another hole in like representation, where it's like, yeah, all these people are doing amazing things and that's fantastic. And they're breaking ceilings and all of that is great. It creates spaces. Awesome. But the majority of people will live very ordinary lives, and mm-hmm. that shouldn't be an issue, and it shouldn't be something that's looked down upon. Like, you shouldn't either be like ordinary, which is like coded as a failure, or excellent and is coded as like what the standard of Blackness should be.
Right. So that term excellent and excellence in general, that's something that's like, I mean, it's kind of talked about a lot, this idea of like Black excellence. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, we kind of talked about it just a little bit right now, but this idea of like the response, the answer to inequality is like excellence. Like what do people mean when they're talking about Black excellence?
It's the fact that it's kind of sad, honestly. At least from what I have observed and like people I've talked to, it's honestly a response to white supremacy in, like I said previously, where white people have typically deemed, non-Black people in general, have typically deemed Black people to be less than. So their expectations for them are that less than, that they will not meet any of these extraordinary goals. And in retaliation to that, it is, yeah, you can think that about us, but it's not true. We mm-hmm. can reach excellence. We can do all of these amazing things you say we can't do. We can exist in your spaces of extreme higher learning. That's why there's such a huge push. Like, how many Black people are in like Ivy League schools? This kid got like 16 different scholarships to the top schools of the country. Right. And it's just a proof that, like, yeah, you've tried to exclude us because of racist stereotypes, because of racist ideas that you've had ingrained into your mind from the past history, but they're actually not true. A lot of the different levels that you've put us on are just a form of oppression, where a lot of people are now... it's in America mostly, but like affirmative action, where they're very upset about affirmative action, but they don't understand that affirmative action is only necessary because white people were able to go in and get educations, even though there were Black people who were academically able to surpass them. Right. So by skin tone alone, they were allowed into those schools. And due to the racist policies, there had to be a policy in place to even that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we talked about last time too, this idea of like the de facto understanding of the way that the world works when it comes to Blackness. And by which I mean, like, it's not written into law. It's not specifically legislated. No one is, you know, writing a policy at the university that like Black students aren't allowed in, but it's just this understanding that like, if you are Black, you are going to have a much more difficult time applying to a university than a white counterpart who is less, maybe less capable, maybe less academically like minded, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And this is why I say like history is really important, because it used to be a law and then it stopped being a law. But when it stops being a law, that doesn't typically change the culture. Like, you have to actively change the culture.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people are trying to do through Black excellence, by changing the culture of being like, look at all these amazing Black people, look at all the amazing things they've done. Not only to be like, look, white people, like, you were wrong, but also to say to like the kids, hey, these ideas that they keep feeding to you, these subliminals in society that you can't do this, you can only do these types of things, you're only good at these types of things, are not true. You can achieve excellence.
Right. It's this idea that it's the dreaming. It's always pushing like, you know, follow your dreams and you can do whatever you want to do, which is like true, but then also is what the caveat, the little asterisk says, but it's going to be incredibly, incredibly difficult to get that done.
Exactly. Incredibly difficult because you're Black.
Yes, yes, exactly. So, I mean, that's one sort of this like frame, this way of looking at the future of Blackness. There's a few other frames I think that we talk about change through, these like lenses that we look through, these ways of seeing the world that we kind of think about. Some of them, I guess it's kind of tricky. They work and they don't. They uphold certain things. They try to tear down others. Can you think of any other ones that are maybe feel a little like similarly complex, I guess, to talk about?
Yeah. I think a big one that I would say is the diversity of Black experience. So there's just this, once again, it just broad brushing everybody, where either the Black experience is very poor, very in delved into violence, very like, if you know, like BET movie, like that type of like struggle, hardship, and that if you don't come from that, then you're not Black. And then there's the other one, which is like bougie Black experience. And then there's a queer Black experience, and there's a trans Black experience. And just actually being able to have those different experiences be valid in Blackness, because I have talked to a lot of people where they, and yes, racism, but like they assumed because I grew up in Scarborough, I grew up in many places, but because I grew up in like Scarborough for a while, that I like was in the hood and it was so terrible. And that's where I get like all my like Black trauma experience from. And it's just this idea that it has to be one or the other. And that actually does link back into Black excellence, where people want to disregard that experience, but that is people's lived experience. Like some mm-hmm. people did grow up in the hood. Some people did grow up in very violent areas, and some people didn't. And having those exist in one, like all of those experiences that I labeled, it like exists in one, and that Black people can exist in different experiences and have different backgrounds and have different ways that they came to understand their Blackness or their place in society or how society works around their Blackness is a key part of Black futures that I see coming up, especially with like the alt kids. Like I love them, where they are like yeah, like people discredited my Blackness because I didn't follow like the stereotype, but I'm still Black. And like we can all have our experiences. We are allowed to be different, even though we all share the identity of Blackness, if that makes sense.
Right. It's looking at like this whole incredible spectrum of human diversity within like Black people, especially, that I feel like oftentimes too kind of gets like squished a little bit when we're thinking mm-hmm. about like this normative angle of like what it means for like to succeed under capitalism, what it means to succeed yeah. as under heteronormativity. Like both of those things, I feel like there's a lot of pressure coming from those forces too. I don't know, is that something that yeah. you wanted to talk a little bit about?
100%, because there is this big ideology that like it's not class structures that are oppressing us, it's just racism. And this is why when I talk about like different hierarchies, I tell people like you need to look at the hierarchies layered on top of each other, because they don't work in silos. They very much inform and interact with each other. So there is a very big push right now that I personally don't agree with, that like if we get rid of racism, we can do it through capitalism. If we just have a rainbow colored capitalism, then we will we'll be free. If we just have our own capitalist system, that's why people are very obsessed with Black Wall Street, which was an amazing feat, no question at all. But the push right now is that if every Black person just starts their own business, just becomes a CEO, just takes over Fortune 500 companies, then like Black people will be free and racism will be over. And right. That actually won't happen, because all that will happen is like I love Beyonce, I do, but she's a capitalist. Mm-hmm. And there are tons of Black people who work under her who don't have like a living wage, who live paycheck to paycheck, who are suffering in environments and like areas that will never taste the plentiful, bountiful amounts that she has. And right. it's just like, if we move to that, all we are doing is just getting rid of the racial component, and we're just going to, let's say we have this perfect Black utopian capitalist society, there will still be oppressed Black people, because they will just be working class Black people. That will just right. be the difference.
it's not about like finding the best way to navigate this like inherently exploitative system. It's about thinking outside of that. It's about thinking like, what does it look like if we just there's this idea of like the orphan crushing machine. And these like news articles where it's like 7-year-old saves up their allowance for 10 years to save 200 orphans from the orphan crushing machine. And then they publish this like news story. And then no one asks why we have an orphan crushing machine or why this poor child needed to like work to save the other orphan. Like, you know what I mean? This idea that like, instead of trying to make it through this like, again, this harmful system, we just like throw it out, we get rid of it, we try to dismantle it as best we can. And that's I think the effort that we're like trying to push toward, and instead of this thing that ultimately is just going to harm someone.
Yeah. And it's just people don't understand because they believe like maybe if everyone is like the same racial group that like capitalism will work differently. But right. There is these same feel-good stories of like Black children like selling lemonade, like picking up recycling to save money. And these are like 10-year-olds save money to go to college. And like, I don't want to like blame just like Beyonce, but you know, they're like the Black billionaires. Like they could give that money to the community to send every Black child to school, to give everyone a scholarship, to do all of these things in the country. But if they do that, they will lose their wealth status.
Right.
And again, it's just like, for me, at least Black futures looks like as many Black people as physically possible being free, not just a couple like 100 enjoying freedom while the others still toil in this system. Like, and again, like it's just it goes into the wider society, like non-Black society, where there are people who are like CEOs and they very much enjoy being like the only Black person in the room because they get the benefits and privileges of being the exception to the rule.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to flip, at least in my book, where like the rule is that like Black people in general, really, but Black people specifically to my community are good. Your needs are met. You don't live paycheck to paycheck. Food is not a constant worry. Shelter is not a constant worry. The children are carefree. Like,
yeah. So what is that? I mean, you did talk about this idea that like, if it were a homogenous community, a community of everyone that's just the same, that's like the only way through. And I guess there is kind of this idea that like, in order for any group to kind of like find liberation under these really, really oppressive systems, that they might have to just like fully self-isolate. What are your thoughts on that? Of like trying to make it within something, trying to make something kind of separate. This idea of like isolation versus assimilation.
Yeah, that one is definitely complex. I think that like some self-isolation is not bad. Like creating community spaces, like creating communities that center your group, that center your like, especially like oppressed groups specifically, where right. you just need a space where you can actually talk about your issues and have people who understand it and are not constantly trying to like combat it or give like their out of community experience of it. Cause I've been in those spaces where I'm like talking about a Black issue to other Black people and somebody who is non-Black will come in and like give their experience of being like friends to a Black person and like seeing something, and I'm just like, I get it. I get it, but it doesn't actually do anything for the cause. And just like in a lot of like Black civil rights movements, just having a place to like actually organize and figure out what a Black future, like what that will look like and how we can achieve it, is really helpful in the like self-isolating state. It's just
right.
In the current like in the current countries we live in, especially like Western countries, it's just impossible. So you can still, we do still self-isolate. Like there are neighborhood cities that are majority like Black, that are majority Asian, and other like different ethno demographics. but we still have to interact with the wider society. So I think it can be a mix where right. you can still have those things, especially in like school systems. Like I definitely think if the majority of the city and the population there is one ethno group, it's really disturbing sometimes to go into school and all the teachers are non-Black or like right. white specific. So like those like little things where you can actually have community centers centered around like your specific community. Like I have seen that like change lives where people were isolated in, let's say, like very white suburban communities, and they move to very like Black communities, and they're able to actually like engage with their culture. They're able to eat their food because it's readily available for them. They're able to talk in their language. Like that can really change your experience of being in the wider society because you have a community to back you up.
Yeah. And like having those experiences validated. I mean, you talked about when like a non-Black person comes in and tries to share an experience that they've had of like a Black friend going through something. But I feel like also what ends up happening is like Black folks will talk about an experience, like a negative one. They'll rightfully note that it was like, you know, likely motivated by race or something like that. And then there's always this like naysayer to be like, well, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe that person was just having a bad day. And yeah. that becomes, I mean, the sigh is like the perfect response to it because like, it's derailing this. It's like, it's changing the entire mood of like the conversation that was being had. It's like turning the space of one from like support and being able to kind of honestly talk to one another to like now having to combat these like voices of like naysayers that are trying to shift that conversation away. And it sounds to me like that's kind of what you're talking about, is this idea that like, you know, it's not about like isolating and never interacting with the rest of the world. It's about like finding a place to like live authentically, to share stories, to relate to one another, again, to touch, like you said, to touch base with like your culture, especially cultures that have been like oppressed. And I mean, we talk about this idea of Canada as like a mosaic versus the American melting pot, where it's like you come into something with a culture and then it's like melted down into this American culture. Canada kind of does the same thing. I mean, I don't know why we like to think we're a lot different or something, but the fact is like it's here too. We just don't like to acknowledge it in the same way. So it's important, like I think, like you said, to have these like spaces where people can safely talk about their experiences, safely talk about Blackness, and then bring that out into the world once they are able to do that.
Yeah. And this is like, a lot of people do think there's like this huge difference between America and Canada, but like they both have very like white supremacist like foundations. Yeah. So it's like, if you don't fit the norm that we have set up, then you are an other, and we do not treat others very well. So a lot of people will be like, okay, I have to assimilate to be treated well. So to actually have a space where, again, like you said, like you can be your authentic self, you can speak about your lived experiences with other people who can relate, who can give you information on how to handle it, on how they went about it, and even just like connect you to spaces that might treat you better. Like it's really liberating. And right. I found that in the multiplicity in the multiple communities that I am in, have been in. So
And I think that's also kind of like, it's funny. It's like, that's where allies can come in, by just like not coming in. Like if we're talking about this, like how to help in this like larger fight, it's recognizing when space needs to be made and held for someone that is not you. So like, get out of there, white people. Like let folks have spaces to have these conversations. Cause that's, I think, one important step to like actively fighting against what is ultimately like oppressing everyone. I mean, we can also talk more broadly about it too, if you were thinking about like other ways that we can kind of fight white supremacy more generally.
Yeah. So I find like a lot of people just want to address like racism and be like, that's racist. Like, we shouldn't do that. Or it's like, oh, that's right. Like, that is a racist policy or like that. And I'm like, that is very good that we can like now see the way that like racism is steeped into a lot of our societies, a lot of our like structures, a lot of our policies, like laws, like all of these stuffs implicitly typically, because like the explicit ones got are still being repealed but have been repealed generally. So a lot of people, as you said, will create like a combative space where it's like, no, we're all equal, like forget about all those like racist laws in the past, the culture has like changed. And it's like, no, the law just changed, like the culture did not change. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm very like forward about like, you need to be anti-racist. It's really nice to be an ally. It's really nice to be able to point out racist things, but actually being able to address them with people. And I find a lot of people, at least the ones that I talk to, will be like, yeah, but like, I don't want to like isolate myself, because there is a lot of rejection if you're non-Black and you like are anti-racist, because people will be like, you're combative, you just want to like start stuff, like you think everything is racist, even though like a lot of things
well
are
look
racist.
Around I mean, kind of is, isn't it, like
but it's just like figuring out how to actually communicate those things to people, because I used to be like a huge debate like geek. I used to love debating people like all the time, but I found that like both people would typically go away with like, okay, I'm just going to figure out how to like make my response better, not actually like, oh, let me think about what I'm like talking about or like where that person is coming from. So just like having slow discussions with people, and it's really tedious, believe me. I've talked to like really racist people and they will come out like guns swinging at me, and I will just like slowly break down where those arguments come from, like why do they think those things, and move from like an anti-racism space. Like, of course, if someone's harming you, like, you know, get out of there. But it's just the idea of like trying to plant seeds. I like that. I always like that analogy of like, yeah, if you plant a seed, a tree isn't going to spring up in one day. But at least if you come back every once in a while and water it and check it out and, you know, like figure out like what it needs to grow, you will get a much better response. And it takes effort. It takes a lot of emotional effort from like Black and non-Black people. So right. In that sense.
Like, yeah, like we're like stuck in this like finger wagging era where like we're really quick. Again, when we have these conversations about representation, that sort of thing, it's like self-professed allies, folks who would maybe kind of use that term to describe themselves, they do a lot of finger wagging. They get up to the point of like pointing out the racism and like, you know, shun, and then kind of leave it at that. It's a lot of like angry chastising, like, why don't you know that? I can't believe you don't know that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that doesn't really get us far, right? Like, I feel like, yeah, especially to have these conversations as a non-Black person is always going to be way easier than to have them if you are a person who is experiencing that oppression, if you are a Black person experiencing anti-Black racism. Like, and that's where like the allies step in. It's like, don't just like get on Twitter, finger wag, and like, you know, criticize everyone without taking the next step. It's like, okay, sure, criticize, point it out, but then what? Like, are you trying to educate? Are you trying to like, you know, build a better sense of like a community understanding, or are you just trying to kind of like isolate yourself from like the bad white people or something like that? Like, that's, we kind of can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I 100% agree. And this is where like, I do have different distinctions. Like, if a Black person does not come to you with the nicest, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I know you don't know this, like, let me help you, I understand that, especially if you're being like harmful and racist, like you are actively attacking them. And I really hate when people have debates about people's existence and then get mad at them for not being diplomatic about it. But that is really where allies like step in, where like, hey, I'm tired of doing the emotional labor of like explaining to white people why like I'm a human being and I deserve to be treated with the same humanity that like you treat other people. But it's it's like, this is where I really would like allies to step in, where it's like, if you have the information, like, and you have the like emotional bandwidth to do so, you should actually engage with people. And it's really easy to like dunk on people and get like points and be like, oh my god, like you're terrible, like throw you in the trash, whatever. But in the long run, like, you're not getting people. And of course, there are people who are in bad faith. And like, it's sometimes hard to figure out which is which. But I would much rather try and have like a genuine conversation with someone who's in bad faith, for the chance that they might be ignorant. And that, and once again, ignorance is not a bad word. It literally means you don't know.
There's a weird thing where people like refuse to admit that, like, oh, I didn't know. Cause I think also it comes along with like, not only did I not know, but like now I have to grapple with this, like all this harm that I did. So there's, but yeah, it's just not knowing. Just do better once you learn.
Exactly. And that's where my issue comes in with a lot of people, where like allies in general, there seems to be a very easy, like, okay, you did something wrong, like throw you away. Which, like, I understand it for people who have, like, directly caused harm. But, like, a lot of people don't understand in the sense that you can easily be accepted back into the fold, I'm going to say. Or, like, you can do things to change your actions. So I really hate when people are like, oh, like, you pulled up my old tweets. Like, those are, like, 5-6 years old. Like, how could you? Like, they don't mean anything. I just love to ask, like, what have you done to, like, change your behavior? Like, since you know it's wrong, but they're old, like, you had 5 to 6 years. Like, what have you done?
Is there more to the apology besides, oh, I'm a totally different person now? It's like, okay, well, explain.
Like, yeah, but it's like, how are you a different person? Yeah. Or it's like, yeah, you were calling people the N-word like 6 years ago. What have you done? Have you taken like EDI training? Have you like, you know, especially when people have like the resources, like, have you done any readings? Have you talked to people? Are you in therapy for like where your racial prejudices come from? Like,
or are you just quieter on Twitter? Basically.
Yeah. Or did you figure out like, oh, I can't be openly racist and forgot to delete those tweets?
Yeah, exactly. Or like, are you, because I mean, I feel like now too, what a lot of people are looking for is, again, it's making those sorts of like spaces too. And it's kind of like giving up platforms, right? If you like knew that you had access to resources, if you knew that you had access to platforms, now we're starting to think about like, okay, like I have to sacrifice at this point. Too much has been made easy for me. Now it's like time to kind of like sacrifice, give up platforms, celebrate things that maybe are not my own story, because I know that there are maybe stories that need to be told a little bit more. So now I'm curious, like thinking about these stories that you know, are being told, need to be told, looking into the future, thinking about how Blackness sort of factors into that. Can you think of any, like, anything that you're sort of excited about in terms of this, like, who is helping to tell these sorts of stories?
100%. I'm really excited that at least we have a lot of discourse around, like, Black womanhood, like the Black woman identity, like how it has been shaped by, like, by the past, but where it's going to in the future, the diversity that I see in it now, the ability to, there's a huge like Black rest movement going on where it's like, yeah, I can't save the world, because there was an era where people are like, Black women are gonna save us all, and it's like, oh my god, like we're still doing labor till this day. Like we're still going. And I get the sentiment, like it's really sweet, like, oh, you all have all the answers, you like understand society, like you see where we're going and how we can change it. But it's like, yeah, we would also like to rest, because we are human beings, like we're not superheroes. So in that, like I've read a lot of books of just like regular Black girls, Black women, like just living their lives, being themselves, being artists, being librarians, being just kids, like all of it. And even like being like superheroes, being like witches, being all of these like diverse things. They're no longer just like this like catch-all savior or like maid servant like dichotomy. There's so much more diversity, and like a whole bunch of Black trans stories and Black queer stories where like the on, again, the diversity of the Black community is coming out, because there has been a push, just like in the general queer community, where a lot of queer people wanted to like reject the non and it sounds weird saying it, but like heteronormative aspects of the community. So the people who didn't want a like a picket fence and two kids and marriage, there was a push to be like, no, but if we present this to like the greater society, like they're going to accept us and they're going to let us have marriage and we'll be okay. We just have to reject like, quote unquote, the weirdos, right. The queers, for a better word. And that's where I'm really excited that the Black community, like there's still like a push for it, because like you'll never get out of that in, as I've said previously, like our heteronormative society. But there is a pushback, like I said, like the Black alt kids, the Black queer kids, like the Black like queer community is able to like tell their stories, and even centering like Black trans people, because they have such a unique story and they are such a core of the community, even though they are the most marginalized. Mm-hmm. They have been able to start like protests. They've been able to create communities. They've been able to like just exist in a way that they're not supposed to. Like if normative society had their way, they wouldn't. But yeah. They are able to actually speak to that. And because we are moving forward, like you're not at the rate, you know, we want to be, but we are moving forward. There is this ability to have this diversity of discussion. And I'm really happy about that, especially in the sense of like Black youth having the ability to like see themselves and not try to fit a like either or bubble. Right. They have the ability to like be themselves and like not, and it's still growing, it's still changing, but like in the future I hope that that's more expansive, that we don't have like a Black or white, that we will get our rainbow of experiences. Mm-hmm. And identities. So
yeah, I love that. Can you think of anywhere that like, so say somebody wanted to go and like read about some of these stories, look up some of these things, I don't know, maybe there's like a cool like art piece or something, is there anywhere that we can direct people to if they want to see something inspiring like this?
Yeah, 100%. So I actually have the book, Black Futures Now. It's very gorgeous, it's silver, and there's a whole book, it's photography mixed in with like, I call them essays, but they're just like overviews of what these people are doing, what their experiences, how they came to do what they're doing, and the ways that they are progressing us into the future. There is also this show actually by CBC. It's a really cool art project.
Okay, yeah. Finally.
Bye, you right? It's called like 21 Black Futures, and it's really, really cool because I love sci-fi, and I had always found it weird that there was like blue people and orange people, but magically no Black people. Like, yeah. Come on, we can do
I'm so
that.
So glad we have space for all of these alien races, and yeah. None of them
are Black.
Yeah.
So like imagining as we go into like space and stuff like that, and how sci-fi will like meet us wherever we are, just being like, oh, we can also exist in that. It's not outside of our reach as Black people.
Okay, amazing. So I'm looking it up right now, and it's like an actual, it's like an anthology series, this mm-hmm. one, that's put on by CBC Arts. It's put on through Obsidian Theater, a bunch of playwrights, directors, actors, they all kind of created these shorts. Are they shorts?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, they're like episode by episode.
Oh, amazing. Okay, we'll link it to like all of this stuff, we'll end up linking in the description below so folks can go and take a look. But
yes, very cool. There's also Adornment Stories. They're a really cool organization that specify on like just art, how to like photograph art, short film, videography, if you're into that, and just creating the things that you want to see in the world. That was a really big thing for me, where it's like, yeah, I want to see those things, and I actually have the ability. And that's what I love about the internet, truly. We have the ability to like put out whatever we want. You can make music. You can, without like a whole huge studio, you can make videos and different art projects. Like, do you know Issa Rae?
I do know Issa Rae.
I love Issa Rae. If you know her, she had her first thing on YouTube, which was Awkward Black Girl.
Yeah. That was a YouTube series that ended up becoming
Insecure.
Insecure. Yes. There it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's possible. Like, if you create it, there will be people who are into it. Because as I'm saying, like, you can find your people on the internet. Mm-hmm. No matter like what your experience is, like what your interests are as a Black person, you can typically find your people on the internet. You can also find haters, but they're everywhere. So
get on there, make something, tell your story. Everybody genuinely wants to hear it. So
exactly.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. This is such a lovely conversation, especially kind of coming towards the tail end of February and thinking about like what comes next and what do folks do next. I fully anticipate having you back in months that are not February also to maybe talk about different things that are that you're thinking about, different things that like Teach is sort of working on. We'll see what kind of comes next, but thank you so much for joining us today. Again, we'll link everything in the links below, including Paula's contact info if anyone is interested in booking a workshop for their class, for themselves, for their friends, that sort of thing. Get in touch with Paula. Happy Black History Month. Happy February.
Thanks for having me.
Bye. Bye-bye.